prison of endless possibility.
Oh boy, here we go again. It's Watch the Plus, and you haven't heard from us in a goddamn month. But here we are, Sam Adams. Mo's on the one and twos, and we're going to go through... This is a double shot episode, but you don't know that right now because the next episode won't come out until a little while. But we could talk about the things we've been watching, but let's talk about what came out today. Today, Sam, what came out?
Our first podcast, The Boys, the best, maybe the best comic book property out there. Who knows?
Arguably, yes. I mean, the fandom toxics think that it's passé and we can't talk about it. But that's why we're here, Sam. We're going to talk about it because it was a breath of fresh air for me. I can tell you that.
You know what? It's kind of like what I used to say about South Park a couple of years ago, is that this is one of the like very surprising critics of pop culture, of corporate culture, of government, of society that like we have right now. It's so weird that you'd look to something like The Boys or South Park, but here we are and they are just skewering, you know, everything, you know, corporate acceptance of things. And I mean, I need to show somebody that doesn't even watch the show. I want to show people the Vaughtland scene when they
yes,
go
Sam.
There.
Sam, I my question to you: would you like some wontons from Woke Walk?
There's so many things like that in there. My brain can't even process the other ones. It's just there was rainbow flags and everything.
I cannot. and this came out in the almighty goddamn Pride Month. And I mean,
it's like the meme going around right now where it says like no one. And it's blank, and it says Olive Garden. When you're here, you're gay, and it's the big, like, flag with every color in it, and everything. And it's like nobody asked these corporations to be like that. But I mean, it's nice that they're like letting people know, like, hey, look at you're not going to be shut down at Olive Garden because of your sexual orientation. Like, cool. I'm glad that's the case. But boy, you know, it's really, you know, oh, thanks for getting to the minimum amount of decency.
Well, Sam, I know we start podcasts out like this quite a bit, but you know I'll bring it back down to pro wrestling terms.
And,
but more recently, what you don't know is a wrestler by the name of Maxwell Jacob Freeman, MJF, literally turned a crowd, a sold out crowd in Los Angeles, from hating him to loving him in the span of 5 minutes. And it's amazing how this show can absolutely raise its hands, proverbially, with middle fingers raised high in the air, and yet I think everyone can still love it. It absolutely puts its finger to everything that you hold dear, and you will love it even more because of it. It is the heel of superhero shows. And I love it. It is the Ric Flair I knew that would get you right there. But that is the Ric Flair of superhero shows.
Well, that's better. You picked a wrestler you knew I'd probably know. So.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I know where we're going to go.
No, yeah, I mean, I think that it does the thing that most like great TV or movies that I really enjoy is it makes me think about things. And so, it takes maybe perspectives that I agree with, perspectives I don't agree with, skewers them, and it's just, it's great satire in a time when who'd have known that we'd be looking to Seth Rogen for satire in a superhero show.
I agree.
I know he doesn't make it, but I'm always kind of blown away by the stuff that he produces. That I'm like, oh, he's a little bit more than just a silly stoner. He's got some good point of view and he knows when to like strike when the iron's hot type of thing.
Yeah.
Like he knows good creators and good writing. And
so so folks, we're talking about the first three episodes. They all dropped straight away. Yeah.
And guess what? They all dropped jumbled in our minds now. So we're bare. This is not going to be a beat by beat.
if you want beat by beat, then watch the show. But
yeah, you know, it's funny. I had a friend of mine that likes nerd stuff that I was complaining about a different show that dropped in the last week about. And he said that we needed to change our relationship and I should just tell him about the stuff I like and don't tell him about the stuff I don't like. And this is one of those shows where I'm like, no notes, you know, like, yeah, there might be a scene that drags here or there, but not even really. Like I watched the whole 3 hours in a single day. I mean, look, we're recording this the day they dropped. So we are notoriously late for recording things, but yet the boys got us off our asses, watched 3 hours of TV, and hopped on the mics.
That's quite interesting, isn't it, Sam? When we really think about it, I mean, like, first of all, personal lives assort. I may have had COVID. Sam might have it right now. And there's been a lot of issues going on in our world. So sometimes we don't get to what we get to. And we're sorry, not sorry.
Well, you know, and sometimes when you have COVID, you're not necessarily in the mood to laugh or you're not in the mood to pay attention to something. Like, I can't tell you how many times in the last week I've started something and then stopped it.
Yeah.
And then started something. And I've just been like, eventually been like, just throw on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or something like that.
Hey, I'll tell you what I didn't stop, which was The Boys. High Point.
No, I even rewound it a few times to make sure I didn't miss something.
Yeah, it's funny because I watched the three episodes and then I watched season two, the finale, just to kind of reorient myself into the world a little bit, because there were a few not odd skips, but things that it's been a while. I mean, let's just be honest. I got to tell you, Homelander is growing on me in a weird sort of way. Now, again, I'm talking about this over the span of three episodes. The guy, it looks like he's been put into a pit. He's got no way out. And then his Martin Luther King speech with "I'm free at last" really, and you know, we talk about spinning things on its axis.
That was wild. Yeah, when he compared himself to Martin Luther King, I didn't see that coming. It was like,
no one did. Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what I really love about the show. And I don't know, I would actually love to know how much this show mirrors the comics, because I think there are a few gender swaps and a few character changes. But it's really been amazing, the writing inside of it, and like, and to be that bold and to flip things around. And then what freedom to him means, frankly, you can love me. I would rather you love me, but I don't care if you fear me.
Yeah, he just wants to be in charge.
Yes.
He thinks he's the A number one best, and that he knows best, and that, yeah, it's also interesting because he's also been told that this whole time. Meanwhile, he's been kind of handled his whole life. He really hasn't had much autonomy. And so, you know, you do see a little sympathy in him, where he is just this kind of trapped into this cage still loves how many points he goes up. You know, he's ready to have a fake relationship with Starlight just because people think that makes him look cool, you know? So,
well, and it's all about, you know, that Q rating of, and, you know, like these first three episodes, in all actuality, it actually feels like character studies for every character. Like, I mean, this is basically a primer for all of our characters that we've gotten up to. Mother's Milk was basically not a part of it. And then by the end, he's in the fray. But I mean, every single character, every single one has had kind of an arc into this first three episodes. And like, I'm kind of wondering, like, I think by episode four, I mean, it's really going to be game on. Well, I mean, we have gotten a good like feeling of where everybody is at.
Yeah, and I think they did a good job, because I felt like if this had been released one at a time, it would have been kind of awkward, because I would have been left being like, what's up with Mother's Milk? Boy, we really didn't see much of Kimiko and Frenchie in the first episode. But like, as you go across these three episodes, you could tell, you know, that they've got a nice rhythm with this where they drop three here and it's almost like a mini movie if you watch it all together.
Yep.
And
longer than, well, it's, you know, it's Snyder cut.
Yeah, and I think they understand their pacing better than some of the other streaming services, which I think we'll get into in
a 1,000%
in the next podcast.
Okay.
Because I wonder if this is a Amazon thing, if this is a creator driven thing, this drop three, and because it's like I was telling you, like half the reason I got into paying attention anything about TV news was because I hated like season finales surprising me when I'm like, oh, that's already leaving or whatever. God yep. dang it. You know? So I liked knowing how many episodes were in a thing. And, you know, so knowing that there's only eight here, it like kills me knowing that it's like, man, we just burnt through 40% of the fucking yeah. season in one sit down. But you know, it's still a show that has plenty of questions. And I think that it answered a ton of questions from last year. We wondered what was going on. Oh, excuse me. We wondered what was going on edit point with
Stormfront.
I want to say Nadia, but Victoria, you know, what, like who she was. And we already know, okay, she was yeah. basically adopted by Vaught at a young age and turned into an assassin by Stan Edgar. And now he's playing both sides by getting soup secretly into the government. You know, so we got a little bit of Stan Edgar's
and we got a deep flashback. Why
that flashback was huge.
Yeah. And
especially like we get to find out, I guess, man, my theory got burnt of Black Noir being a clone of Stan Edgar, but
it
was fun. It was neat just seeing that, that reveal. And that's one of those things that's really different from the comics. Cause in the comics, it turns out Homelander's actually not too bad a guy, but that Black Noir is a clone of Homelander
yeah.
that's been doing all those evil things. So obviously they're not going with that in the show either, which would have been an interesting reveal. Although I don't know how they would have done that because it's obviously been a black actor playing the entire time. So it would have been strange. Unless they
yeah.
just, well, it'd be funny if now that would have been wild if it was Homelander in blackface.
Even the idea of having like this deep cut and deep history of why there's this, like, we don't really want to have soups in the military, and the reason why is they're not trained. They are completely.
Oh, they were awful. The guy just gunning down her own men was hilarious. Like, I mean, not hilarious. It was sad, but it's also like, yeah, I could see just some untrained buffoons in a war situation having like no idea what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, especially it's like there's probably a lot of training in that kind of stuff so that you're not the guy firing a gun from the back of the line, shooting all your buddies in the back.
Well, and I, you know, like,
and why you don't fly in the air and give away your position and stuff like that.
Well, and what's interesting to me is like, you know, obviously like I don't have any connection to Supernatural. I know that there are a lot of people out there that love that show and have a enormous throbbing hard on for it. And I know this actor, what's his face, is in it. Okay, great. In three episodes, he didn't really. He's a kind of a volatile Captain America at best. I did see. It was weird. Like in the preview, the episode zero, they show him like basically getting woken up with a huge beard, almost a la Bucky. So I'm assuming he's coming out of this radiation chamber or this Three Mile Island version and going to be alive. Maybe he's the only one that at the end of it, he is the weapon that can beat Homelander because there is this idea that the Russians have a weapon. So I'm assuming that possibly the Russians somehow maybe converted him, which in a weird way is very MCU-ish.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I got the feeling from the way that went down and how the Fire Witch or whatever the heck her name was had like a story about how he was dead yeah. already. That felt like a plant. Like it felt like a double plant. Like one, I think they did want to try and get soups in the military, but that obviously went way wrong. And then two, I think they were trying to get rid of Soldier Boy in that mission. Like, you notice he's the only one going forward. Everybody else is hanging back. And like, he was ahead of her. And then they're behind her, Mallory. He's ahead of Mallory, and all the suits are behind Mallory. And then they come up, they go like, we saw him, they killed him. It's like, how? Like, it just didn't track. And like,
yeah.
Stan Edgar was already out, you know, like it seemed.
Well,
like
we do have an unreliable narrator in mm-hmm. so far as Mallory.
And, you know, she got her head hit, so she didn't see everything. So yeah. She's, you know, she's getting it secondhand, you know, show, don't tell. So, yeah, no, I thought that was really interesting. And just, yeah, it felt like it enriched the world even more. You know, you see these soups that were from 20, 30 years, or I mean, I guess maybe
well, and, 40 and Black, years ago. And Black Noir got really jacked.
Yeah, and you see why he doesn't talk and wears that mask all the time.
Yeah. I figured something happened, and then is it the bloodiest we've seen? I mean, there are some really bizarre scenes.
There's a lot of big deaths.
We have Tiny Man crawling up the hole of another man's penis and sneezing and blowing him in half.
I wasn't ready for that.
No, of course you weren't. No one was.
Well, I mean, as soon as it was the shrinking guy and he said, I want you inside of me, I was like, oh, he's going to run up this guy's butt. And then when it turns around, I'm like, oh, my God.
But we find out that when he goes up people's butts, that's what he does to kill people, because that's what he tried to do to Frenchie.
I don't think he would have discriminated, although it's probably easier to get into a butt than it is that that other opening.
The pee-pee hole?
Yeah. I think that probably, you probably need a little more willing participation.
I mean, it's just amazing to me, the taboos that the series will fall into and make things out of it. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And so we're getting to in the crux of things, like, basically, the boys are members are basically indoctrinated into the CIA. They're kind of in this, you know, super, like, we're going to catch guys doing bad things. And this is all basically, I guess, Backlash. Excuse me. With Stormfront being a Nazi. So we're going to
they've formed a whole department about it. And, you know, there's Black Ops guys, which is with Butcher and Frenchie and Kimiko are up to.
But they're not to kill. They're just getting information.
Or getting information, arresting people. But, I mean, they didn't even arrest Termite. You know, he had a big deal with Terminex. He got off scot-free, and so they gave him three other people to arrest, you know. So, you know, and it probably mirrors the way justice is doled out in everyday society.
Butcher's been neutered in some ways, especially in episode one. By episode three, I got confused, and I swear to you, I missed something. So between episode one and between episode three, our boy William, Billy Butcher, has a drastic change. Now, I assumed that because there's a new Compound V, it's a 24-hour serum. However, it seems as though I thought Billy had taken maybe something in his dreams to beat up everyone. But it seems as though he has taken Compound V because it's been longer than 24 hours and he's got powers.
Well, and when Edgar first floats it to the presidential candidate, he says that he's like, we're still working out the kinks. So obviously there's some side effects that he wasn't warned about, you know, before he took his medicine. So he, you know, it probably makes you a little bit irritable. He's throwing up, his stomach's messed up. They said, you know, everybody thinks he looks like shit. Even the kid is like, your blood smells weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your heart's racing. So, and you know, he's a very private person.
Did we see Billy taking the second version of it, or like I swear I blinked and I missed something.
Yeah, I thought I remember him taking it, but maybe that was the dream. But I'm assuming he took it in between then and when he goes and lasers gunpowder or whatever that guy's name is.
Which one? Sean Patrick Flannery, who hasn't had a job in forever. And I didn't recognize him with the helmet on until he took his helmet off. I was like, gosh.
I didn't know who is that.
Okay. So if you've ever been indoctrinated into the Boondock Saints.
No, I have not. I had a lot of people try to get me into it, but
okay, Boondock.
I had enough people make fun of it that it turned me off.
Okay, the first Boondock Saints is legit. It's extremely legit. Don't ever watch anything more than that. And there's a documentary based on the director. It was the film that should have never been made in a sense, mm-hmm. but it's Norman Reedus is in it. It's a phenomenal movie. Just love it for what it is.
That's where Norman got his start.
It's not where he got his start, but it really popped him off the chart.
But that was pre Walking Dead, right?
Oh, very much so.
Like very much. I was gonna say that came out when I was like in college. So.
Oh, by the way, Sam, we do have a sponsor tonight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it is Old Tuffy. It is the NC State beer. It's actually made by New Belgium, and it's premium lager, from what they say.
Man, some colleges have their own beer. It's still not fair.
Well, yeah, NC State does, and I found it today. And when you see Old Tuffy, know that it's going to give you 4.7 on the Richter scale.
Nice.
Okay, so let's go moving over to Huey. First of all,
the only thing I don't like about this whole thing, is we're already introducing Huey and Starlight drama in their relationship. Like, he's jealous of the new guy, you know, he's not listening to her, you know, I feel like that's one thing where I'm like, I don't need a will they, won't they. Like, I could use them just being solid. Like, I just feel like that's a cliche TV thing of like, okay, there's one relationship that anybody gives a shit about romantically in this. So let's throw a wrench into it.
Okay. I'm with you, especially when the jealousy factor came in, especially when he was on set with them. Yeah. However, I feel like it transcended that and it moved past it when he was basically like, look, I'm back with Butcher, and this is what we have to do, and I need you to be with Homelander, or I need you to be close to Homelander. We had no idea yet that Starlight was going to have to play basically his girlfriend. That was a complete threw me for a loop.
Yeah, that was a good surprise, but other than that, I mean, everything was interesting. I mean, Frenchie's on the outs with one of his old gangs, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't really pick up the whole story with that.
Well, the key to that is because they need to go to Russia to get the weapon.
Okay.
So that's where that leads is that inroad gives them the ability to go to Russia, because apparently the Russians have some sort of weapon that could potentially kill Homelander.
I don't think they do. I think they just have Soldier Boy.
Well, I think I think he is the weapon.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of like, I don't know, Stan Edgar made a deal and sold Soldier Boy to the Russians to get some fucking mineral they needed for Compound B or something like that. And they wanted to get rid of him anyways because he was getting a little too hard to handle. And they had this young kid that they thought was going to be better anyway. So
I'd accept it.
Scooch, scooch.
Yeah.
But yeah. I like where everything's going. You know, we get a little bit more Kimiko and just her kind of regretting her powers and wishing she never came into them and everything.
Boy, she's strong.
Yeah. She's just an interesting character. I'm always very confused by people that are mute, because it's like, all right, you know, on a text, you know how all the word, you know, when people talk to you, you understand them. So, like, don't know, just start trying. She's got Wolverine-esque healing abilities, so yeah. We know her vocal cords aren't damaged or anything. But it's just like, even if it's like, yeah, I sound like a deaf person when I talk because I, you know.
It's funny you mention that, like, Sam, because if you watched the finale of season two, you would have forgotten, which I did, that she starts laughing at Stormfront.
That's right.
Yes.
So she can make noises with her voice. So I don't get the hold up.
Can I bring up Stormfront for a second?
Well, it was a nice surprise because Aya Cash kept saying she wasn't in this season.
Yeah. That was weird. I wasn't expecting it. It was an interesting surprise, but that this kind of amputee was giving Homelander a hand job. This show just doesn't quit. If you think of it, it's going to do it. And it's just kind of, I want to say amazing, but it's more like expect the unexpected and it's probably going to happen.
Yeah. I will say there was at least once an episode that I like cackled out loud at what was going on, and it was literally multiple times in like a single scene. I mean, just the guy running up the pee hole was already enough.
Yes.
And then once he sneezed and yes. you see what happens, yes. like you go to like, oh my God. Especially you actually kind of felt bad for him because it felt like those two weren't just like bang bros. It seemed like they were like lovers, and he was like very like distraught about, you know what yeah. I mean? Like it was, I don't think that was just like a guy at a party that had the biggest bag of coke. I think it was like his actual like boyfriend, and he was actually, you know, that's one of the things that's weird. It's like, so he's getting sacrificed because of an accident, and it's like, but meanwhile, what's his face? You know, Homelander, who created supervillains, is just fine. You know, it shows you that kind of uneven wheel of justice that, you know, again, that I think that they can point out things that other shows want to don't do as well.
Yeah. You know, and like I kept thinking, gosh, you know, even though this is nothing really like Invincible, Amazon is really picked, like very much cherry picked what they want to put out.
Those are literally two of my favorite superhero properties, both of which I'd never heard of before the shows came out.
Yeah.
And like, I did a whole rewatch of Invincible. You know, it's just a fantastic voice cast and the animation's awesome. And it's not afraid to be bloody and brutal, just mm-hmm. like this is. And it gives you that kind of like, yeah, we all have this great feeling about superheroes and everything. And cool, the MCU showed what it would be like if it actually was in the real world, kinda. Now we're actually going to show you what it's like when Tony Stark can't catch 13 people.
Yeah.
When he can only catch two of them. And so he decides to catch none of them because the PR is bad. You know what I mean? It's just like that kind of stuff. Or like, you know, Invincible trying to save that old lady, and meanwhile he's literally like killing her as he's like flying around
yeah.
trying to get her to the hospital because yeah. he's flying too fast and running into shit and stuff. So I love that kind of, you know, like, let's take this genre we all love and not necessarily make fun of it, but like shine up, look at it in a whole new perspective, shine a new light on it. Like, it'd actually be kind of horrific if we had these battles in the sky where like a chunk of rock could come down and just smash you in your backyard at any yeah. given moment, because that's where the aliens landed. Like, it wouldn't be nearly as cool as it is in the comic books.
Did I miss something with the Deep?
How so?
Okay, so that I know that there was a negotiation, and now that I only remember this because of the finale, there was a negotiation to have the Deep come back and also have A-Train. But
didn't he kind of tell A-Train he was out?
Yeah, but it was all based on race. But with the Deep coming back, and then the scene, especially with the dinner where he has to eat his buddy Timothy, the octopus, and
we just had a romantic encounter with
yeah, basically. I missed something in that, and I again, I it was like I felt like I blinked. And I missed why he was pushing so much tension onto the Deep.
Well, I think it was a two-part thing. I think one, that was kind of their relationship before, is that he thought the Deep was a joke and he'd fuck with him all the time anyways. And I think it's part, and the only reason he's even having him get back on the team is just to fuck with Starlight. I don't think he likes the Deep at all.
But is he still part of the Collective?
Who? Oh, no. Because remember, the Collective, they blew that guy's brain up at the end of the season.
That's right.
Yeah. And so I think they used him to maybe rehab the Deep, and then they moved along because, you know, he wants his piece of the pie. And Stan Edgar doesn't get profits by handing out pieces of the pie, which I'm glad that we're getting more of him this season. Like, I feel like he's been kind of a shadowy figure in the first two, and now we're seeing him in flashbacks. We're seeing him put Homelander in his place.
Yeah. Very interestingly enough, like I hope he does hear me, like when they do the co-captains.
Yeah, that was a good line where he goes, oh yeah, you know, I hope he does listen in on this so he can hear what I really think of him. I'd never say this to his face, but fuck that guy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, I mean, if we were talking earlier about Breaking Bad, I mean, the Gusto character has always been amazing to me. And the Gus.
Well, you know, it's amazing because, like, I remember him in Do the Right Thing. I remember him in, I didn't like him in Homicide: Life on the Street. He was kind of part of that second set of cast, yes, where he played G's son. And I never really, it was always kind of like, I like the original people, so I didn't like those seasons as much. But it wasn't like he was bad at it. It was just, you know, it was just a character I didn't like. You know, it's just one of those things sometimes I feel like where they're like, we're bringing in the babies of the, you know, or they're trying to replace everybody. Where it's, like, it's easy to be like, here's my kid. Like, okay, whatever.
You
know?
Yeah.
But, you know, he was good in that. And to see him have this, like, prolonged, not only career, but, like, kind of this resurgence where he's Gus Fring in two shows.
He's the big bad in Mandalorian. I mean,
Moff Gideon. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's pushing limits of, like, how many bad guys can you play?
Well, and you know what he's also doing is ruining bad guys for other people. So I recently, I'll get into this now, but because it's not really streaming or anything, but Better Call Saul just wrapped up its first half of its last season. And I would contend that maybe it's even better than Breaking Bad, because I did a Better Call Saul rewatch leading into the season. Then I watched the season and then I was kind of like, I still need that taste. So I actually went back and binged all of Breaking Bad in like a ridiculously short amount of time. Cause that's such an easy show to binge.
It really
so
is. Yeah.
You just want to know what's going to happen next. And I noticed that it's like, oh, some of their filmmaking techniques and stuff were still a little like rough and tumble in those first few seasons of Breaking Bad. Like, that was still a low budget show that was really getting by on great writing and directing and, you know, using what they had. You know, it's a lot of, you know, it's not like, how expensive could the sets be? He's in an RV, he's in a house, he's in a school, you know, those were probably pretty cheap places to like film at or whatever. So I think that, you know, but it was just interesting watching like, oh, this is some of the same filmmaking techniques you see in both shows. But in Better Call Saul, it's like perfected, where you see something in, you know, you're tracking like the movement of a penny down a street or something. And then
is Gus in that?
He's heavily in it. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
He's probably in it more than in Breaking Bad.
Wow. See,
you know, I'm always amazed when I find out people. I get it though too, because that first season is a little bit of a, like, not a slog, but you're like, oh, I tuned in for Better Call Saul, and I'm getting this Jimmy McGill guy who's a pretty nice guy trying to help out his brother, and it's like, oh, it's because he's not Saul yet. You're finding out who he was before Saul and how he got there, but also meanwhile, once the season getting a flash forward to his life in Omaha, Nebraska, And a lot of people think that's going to be how the season, the series actually ends, is with a flash forward and showing us what ends up happening to him. So it's really, I really can't recommend it enough. It's one of those things where I know people say it's kind of blasphemous to say it's better than Breaking Bad, but I'm like, in some ways it is. They're different shows though, because this one has a lot more like heart.
Well, I think
relationships and stuff.
And here's why. Here's why, Sam. When you have Breaking Bad, which is clearly a 10, let's call it a 10. I mean, it really, really, really is a very, it couldn't be much more solid. And the thing we've been trained to is that spinoffs don't last. And most of the time, they don't last past the first season. And so you're trying to build something off of one character, and that never works. So that's where I think that's where my apprehension is always laid.
Now, I think they've talked about doing a Gus prequel, and I think that maybe you could. And I'm going to go as far as say I think that you could do one just about the Salamancas. They're so interesting that you could go and do just a cartel show about these people that are in the show and have something be pretty interesting and even have an overlap with things that happened in this show or in either of these two shows.
The problem is time. The time is against you.
Well, yeah, there people do admit that it is kind of funny looking at Bob Odenkirk, and it's supposed to be before Breaking Bad, and there's scenes where it's obvious, but it's like, that's what Disney's anti-aging technology is for. So we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
That's right. Anymore. There you go.
That's why Stan Lee's got a 10-year deal.
They made that guy be a puppet. All right. So let's go back to the boys.
Yeah.
Who have we not touched on?
We haven't talked about MM a lot, and it's finally interesting to find out what his, you knew he had some drama in his family, and he's obsessed with Soldier Boy, and he said Soldier Boy killed his family, even though he's always said that line as dad died behind a desk not paying attention to his kids. He said something like that before in a previous
again season. It felt like I blinked, like, what did I miss? Like, Soldier Boy, like, they've really brought him up as if we're supposed to know a lot about him, and I know we're not. I get that. We really don't.
I just assume he's their Captain America. That's kind of what I get the feeling is that he's got a shield. He might have been around during World War II. He's really old. We'll see what kind. And that's one thing too, is that in the comics there's multiple Soldiers Boys. There was like they kept getting replaced.
So
that's what you can tell. Yeah, so that's why you can tell that they're going to do things different. That's the other thing I've been wondering about MM's backstory for a while now. Because in the comics, it turns out he actually is a soup. And I always wondered if that's what his whole, like, my family took on Vought type of thing with, like, if it was like they found out that he was given V without his permission and that's why he's so strong or something. But I don't know if they're going down that route or not.
I think they're flipping it. Because with Butcher having powers, I think they're going to flip that end of it.
Well, they do that in the comics too, where they get V pills or something like that.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. So I knew that was coming. And it felt like a natural, like they could only get away with fucking over Homelander so many times before he was just going to throw
so
him into the
so
sun.
Do you think Q is going to get powers?
I don't know. Maybe. I think a bunch of them do in the comics, but I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where when the first season came out, I kind of did a lot of like research. And then as these next seasons have come out, I've done less and less. I don't really want to know what's going to happen.
It's funny you mentioned something you said just brought this up to my head because I was thinking about it. The orphanage. Now, is it basically Soup's kids and they can't contain them or they can't deal with them?
Well, the feeling I got from it was that because it seemed like all the parents were in on their kids getting V. That was like a deal that Vought signed with the parents. Was like, we'll give you a check. You shut the fuck up and we'll make your kid a superhero. And So I got the way that she said it, these are kids whose abilities manifested at a young age, and they a lot of them weren't able to control them. So I got the feeling that it was Supes who killed their parents probably on accident, but because like they teleported their dad into the garage or something. Or they fireball breath their mom when they were breastfeeding, okay, or something like that. Like that's kind of the feeling I got, was that it was like, oh, these are Supes that like, or they were orphaned and they've killed their orphan parents, yeah, or something like that. So, cause they all look kind of fucked up, you know, and everything. And they're like, and the lady had a broken arm, and they all look very like timid around the kids.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It was just weird. I couldn't figure out exactly what the angle was, but it seemed like and we find out that, the senator is basically from that orphanage.
I guess that didn't surprise me that much that she's controlled by Vought too, because it makes sense. You know, she killed the right people at the hearing. You know, she killed that religious guy after he, you know, got the deep to kind of look like a human again. So I felt like that tracked at least. So it's just kind of crazy, cause it's like, it's that like corporate America is evil and has its tentacles and everything kind of viewpoint, which, you know, isn't entirely wrong.
Yeah. I would say at this point, like if we start to prognosticate a little bit, I really don't know where the season's going to go.
Well, and you know, it's funny, the Mr. Sunday Weekly Planet boys were worried that the trailer would have given away the entire season. And I don't think it did. I think that they do a pretty good job of basically giving you this first 3-hour chunk. It's like, here's a 90% of this trailer. And yeah, they might show some action beats from down the line, but yeah, like, I'm not going to sit there and pause them. You know, they go in and out my brain like a quick little nugget. You know, it's not, I'm kind of over the days of, analyzing trailers, because I feel like all it does is kind of ruin the movie for you.
Well, we all have COVID. We all have COVID brain now.
Which we'll talk about trailers ruining movies in another pod.
Oh, okay, good. Was it Doctor Strange?
I mean, they could have shown. They could have not shown something in those trailers. They could have left one surprise.
I believe you.
Didn't feel so mad, did it? when you're like, oh, cool.
It's Morbi time.
Oh God. If the Sony execs don't realize that fans are making fun of how bad that movie was and they greenlight a movie because the positive social media platform buzz.
You know, that's going in 1,000 theaters this weekend,
yeah,
right?
Which I think it's going to get its ass handed to it, going up against fucking Top. Is it this weekend or next weekend?
I think it's this weekend.
Is it as of this recording?
Yes.
Right now.
So we're talking.
Well, at least they weren't dumb enough to go up against Jurassic World and Doctor Strange and Top Gun.
Sam, Doctor Strange is fucking awful. We'll get into that. No,
I
it's
go
Sam.
That far,
Sam, we'll get into it next pod.
Yeah. We'll get into the next, but yeah, do we have it? Is there any other boys? Oh, well, we haven't really talked about A-Train much, which is funny watching him just. So we finally took a couple episodes to get what was up with him, that he's actually hasn't ran anywhere.
No, well, he can't. And apparently
he's
it's
afraid
like
he's going to have a heart attack. Yeah,
yeah.
He doesn't know, which I feel like is a smoking gun. He's going to run to do something. I wonder if he's going to sacrifice himself to save somebody.
I think that's a great call. I hadn't thought about that. You know, that basically his brother's like, you know, you could be something more than just than part of the seven. And
yeah.
And maybe he has a change of heart.
Well, I mean, because it sounds like these guys make exorbitant amounts of money. And even if he was just the seventh highest paid actor in that movie, he still just made a couple million dollars. So it's like, yeah, you know, you could just sign some autographs and coach some kids and just chill out with your family and be happy and stop worried about like all this bullshit. So no, I like the look of that. You know, it's kind of the thing of that where people get a little wrapped up in things and don't see that what true happiness is.
I gotta say, Sam, again, in the way the boys puts the middle finger up to a lot of things, you know, he is playing this role of like, hey, I'm how'd they say it? Part of the I'm gonna lose my train of thought now. Like part of the people. Like that's not what he said, but you know, with his change of outfit and Dillian.
Was it when he's like the people love A-Train or something like that?
Yeah, he changes the outfit to be like I'm gonna be like more like African based, and Sam, it was a direct thumbing of the nose to Black Panther. You know, it was that kind of ideal. Like, oh well, like I can be from Africa, but you're really not. Your descendants are, but you're not.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the only. That's the only thing we can look at and compare it to. I guess I'm surprised. I kind of am surprised that, I mean, I don't have a lot of bad things to say about Black Panther, but it also is kind of, you know, they've patted their backs about it. And it's not like, oh, well, there's our other 10 black superhero movies in development. No, it's like they got Ironheart coming out on Disney Plus in a little while. You know, they got, I guess, Miss Marvel. You know, I guess they're trying to be more diverse. But
oh my gosh, Sam, what are you doing right now?
I'm giving people the benefit of the doubt sometimes. But I mean, you know, like it's like
you're gonna give Disney the benefit of the doubt.
Well, because it's funny because they both get shit for not being diverse enough and being too gay, so it's kind of like, well, it's probably somewhere in the middle. I think they just want to make
I don't think it's somewhere in the middle. but what I'm saying is the A-Train story I think is very interesting in that he's trying to overcompensate, and I think that he's going to find his middle line.
He needs to be himself.
Yeah, that's why exactly.
He literally needs to figure out what Homelander has figured out. That's like, you're better off being yourself than you are trying to be what everybody else wants you to be.
There you go. I think you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I think A-Train could end up being the unsung hero of the story.
I wonder if he sacrifices himself to save Starlight, coming full circle from the first episode where he killed Huey's girlfriend.
Interesting.
Boom. Put it in. Start
a market.
Reshoots.
I'll mark it right now.
Get the reshoots going.
Sam Adams, mark it.
Oh, God. I you know, it's funny. I like to, as much as I'm a know-it-all and like to sit here and talk about this stuff, I can only imagine someone being like, all right, Sam, take episode 4. Give us your script.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Terrifying.
It could happen. It could happen. We're obscure enough. They can rip us off all day long.
Yeah, but I it's one of those things where sometimes all I can do is point. It's kind of like my editing days where I wasn't good at being able to like be like, oh hey, you know what, you got the adverb mixed up here. I would more just be like, this sentence sounds weird. Say it like this. I wasn't good at telling you why.
Yeah, that's fine. We describe the verbs. That's all.
Oh man. I guess the craziest thing is that we haven't even seen the most depraved shit we're going to see this season, because we're going to see Herogasm at some point this season.
Really?
Yeah. Which is from the comic books, which is basically the weekend that all the soups go to like an island where nobody can see what they can do. And they just do all the most depraved shit they can do. So
I would have thought we've already seen that, but so it like, yeah. They're going to go to like hedonism.
Yeah, they're going to have some sort of episode with that, which I can only imagine what their brains have cooked up for something like that.
Yeah.
Considering, like, just with the first episode of the series, we see that bar where people are banging in the air, and that
was so strange.
Yeah, that they had the Fantastic Four guy stretched out making out with two different guys.
Yeah,
you know, they had all kinds of crazy shit there. So if they're gonna top that for season three, but if there was a crew that I trusted to top it, these guys probably got it.
Hey, Sam, it's Pride Month. We're blowing it up all the way.
Now, that's an interesting thing, is that we've seen gay characters in this show, although I was going to say there really aren't any main characters, but...
Maeve. Yeah,
I forgot about that. So.
You know, that's interesting. Maeve really was an undercard in a majority of this episode.
Even though she was kind of a key person, because she's the one that gave the intel to Billy.
Yeah, yeah.
And she gave him the Compound V. So, yeah, I think she's going to end up being important. You know, she's obviously playing both sides. You know, they probably should. Well, I mean, I guess maybe it's a good thing that Stormfront doesn't know that. Or not Stormfront.
Well, Stormfront's dead.
Starlight.
Okay, Starlight.
Stormfront weirded me out, because it went from one scene of her being like, we need to repopulate the Earth, and then the next scene she commits suicide. And I'm just like, what change? What?
How? Yeah, I don't know. I think.
But you know what I didn't even think about either is that we found that out via news footage, probably from Vought. So who knows if.
I don't know, Sam.
But I mean,
Sam,
she also seemed. She seemed when he came in. It's like, it's my birthday, and she wouldn't even like blink to acknowledge him.
Sam, my conspiracy needle started to wiggle a little bit, and it was something about like they wanted to kind of push back. I don't think she's in the season any longer. And I think she's dead. Yeah, I think the Nazi thing they wanted to suppress and like. Let's not deal with that anymore. We'll go with Soldier Boy and hate America.
Yeah, but I wonder, it didn't track for me where it went from one scene. She's like,
yeah,
use my one good hand.
Yes.
Give you a hand
yes.
Job
it was disjointed. Sam, you're not alone in this. Yeah. You're absolutely 100% correct.
But I'm wondering if that means we're not being told something, you know, if there's something they
you want. Well, because you've been educated into the fact of some of these other franchises that have left you hanging, but you're willing to accept that hanging as good stuff, and this is just gone. That's all. She's just dead. That's okay.
I know. It's it's funny that I thought of one of the first ever hanging plot points that I remember from a movie or anything. I was just listening to it today. Was the Weekly Planet boys doing a Jurassic Park breakdown, and they're like, you know, nothing ever came of that can with all the DNA in it that Nedry dropped into the water. They made it seem like it's such a big deal. It landed in the water. Everything was rushing down over it, and it just 6 movies later, no big deal.
Maybe it was a big deal in the book.
Yeah, so I was one of those things where I'm like, oh, you know, they're not the first person that left a plot point traveling. But yeah, but no, you know what? Honestly, other than that, the boys' action's still great, still makes your jaw drop.
Yes.
You know, just like you learn more about the powers of individuals as you watch it. Like, just obviously Victoria needs to be able to see what she wants to make explode, you know, because like when that guy was holding her down,
she was able to
look at his hand and make his hand explode, you know. So
that was about in these first three episodes. And I say this really tentatively, it felt a lot bloodier. But I don't think that was necessarily the case. It's just I haven't seen it in a while.
I think it's just because in each episode we had at least one body explosion. I mean, in the first one, we had the pee hole guy. In the second one, we had Victoria, and in the third one, we had the flashback where the soups were blowing people up and shit.
By the way, Sam, I don't think anything in my urethra would feel good being touched. Maybe
if it was just tiny enough, it'll just.
I just don't think so. But you know, but maybe I just don't understand.
Maybe it's one of those things where they've explored so much they're looking for new things.
I think to myself, if I put a Q-tip on my urethra, I don't think that'd feel great.
That's the thing that's wild to me is that that wasn't at HeroGasm. Like that was the thing they just put in the premiere. Yeah. So these crazy fuckers, they're going to have something. They're going to have something great for us.
Yeah, I think we're going to get our lids blown off.
Yeah, I wonder how long they're going to keep that. I wonder if this is going to be a 5-season show. I wonder how long they can keep this show going just because I don't know how they keep it so fresh. And meanwhile, it's back to the same old formula. The boys are going after these bad guys. They got a person or two in Vought helping them out. Vought's evil corporation, you know, and it somehow remains to stay fresh and kind of keeps us on our toes. You know, it's what deserves a breakdown podcast.
That's true. I mean, look, Mr. Urban needs to win an Emmy. Has to.
I'm so bummed the MCU wasted him on Scourge.
Oh.
I feel like he could be. I mean, a lot of people have him as Wolverine. Sure, although I'm all about that shorter Wolverine for our next iteration. But I mean, just anything like. He's one of those guys where he's such a good actor. I'd be like, pick up character. We'll let you know if you fit or not. You know, you let us know. You want to be Banshee? Cool. You want to be? You want to be? Whatever. Like, we'll give you a shot at.
Yeah. And now he's going
to be. You want to be Colossus? Can you do a Russian accent?
Probably.
Can you still call people a cunt in Russian?
Right. Absolutely. Oh, it's so good.
Things you'll never see in the MCU for $500, Alex.
That's right. Well, actually, I'd probably put that down for the $100 mark. Sam, should we go to episode 2, part 2 of what we're doing right now?
Yeah, I think we should switch on over to the other station and let everyone know what we've been watching, what we're going to watch.
Okay, we'll call it the Patreon, but it's free.
Yeah. It's called. We recorded 2 episodes in one day.
All right. All right.
The magic of podcasting.
That's right. See you on the page.
Hey, you all, you're the real heroes.
Bingo.